hello and welcome to our brand new episode of Science with Knob Jokes.
Oh my god.
And I am Dr. Sam Goffey, and as ever, I'm joined by the enigmatic, mystical Miss Daisy Eyre.
Oh, I liked that.
Yeah.
You introduced me like that again,
enigmatic,
yeah.
Enigmatic, mystical.
Perfect.
Science with Knob Jokes.
We are here to give you your fix of exciting science that you can share down the pub with friends, perhaps woo a lover.
I mean, well, let's not get expectations up too high.
Watch it. I mean, I think we can safely say this is going to be the best thing anyone has ever listened to.
I mean, it's nice that you're so excited.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
I put a cushion over me. I didn't know you noticed.
Oh,
there's a knob joke.
Oh,
see? We've got the first knob joke in. That's good.
I'm so unhappy.
On with the show.
Sam's meaty story.
So last episode, do you remember I talked about antibiotic resistance?
Yeah.
Often it happens because we overuse antibiotics, or people take them to treat like the cold or something, a virus, which like really grinds my gears.
Oh, does it?
Yeah,
pet hate. Your pet hate, that
pet
one?
Pet hate, can't
Ooh,
stand
look
that.
Look at your little furious
yeah,
face.
It's furious.
Oh, you're so angry.
Our listener can't see my face, but imagine a screwed up red...
I think you're even
red...
being optimistic there, to be honest.
So antibiotic resistance is a big problem, and we need new antibiotics. We're getting some infections now which are just untreatable. Like, we've got the only drugs that are left in some cases are these really last line of defence antibiotics, which are nasty. They kind of hit your liver. They make you very unwell, and you don't really want to use these things. There's even been strains of bacteria in labs which are now resistant to those.
Oh, my God.
So that people refer to it as, like, the antibiotic apocalypse and stuff like that. And it actually...
I think they've gone too far, haven't they?
Well, yes, but infectious diseases used to be the biggest killer of humans, and now they're not. If we lose antibiotics, then you'd expect them to start to climb again, which would be pretty crap. So, people
is
are looking...
a medical term?
Pretty crap.
Fortunately, madam, this is pretty crap.
Pretty crap, yeah. So, these scientists are coming up with this fantastic idea to try and subvert antibiotic resistance. They want to try a different technique entirely. And so they're using a... there's this bacteria that's called Delovibrio bacteriovorus. And
that's a dinosaur.
It was also a dinosaur. I mean, it was a good joke.
All my jokes are good.
So Delovibrio bacteriovorus, it's this like really, it looks like a comma, and it swims incredibly fast. Like, if it was me, it would be like me running at about, I've worked out, 387 miles per hour. That's the speed it can move
really
at.
Speedy.
And it swims around wherever it's living, seeking out other bacteria. And a bit like a missile, I suppose. And it zooms in and it smashes into the side of these bacteria,
right,
like a salmonella or an E. coli or something, bores a little hole in the side of it and burrows inside the bacteria. And then very savage, like some kind of aggressive parasite. And then it seals up its entry hole behind it.
How?
And, duct tape. Maybe. So, I mean, I read the paper thoroughly. So it dives inside, and it then starts to take all the different proteins and molecules that are inside this bacteria, okay, and it starts to sort of devour them and eat them
it
as fuel for itself. And at this point, this comma starts to elongate, sort of like a growing banana,
like
inside. Like a longer hyphen, even longer.
Like an M dot rather than M dot.
Yes, yeah,
dash,
sure.
Rather.
So this bacteria gets longer and longer and longer inside the E. coli or salmonella or whatever, and then it divides up into multiple new little bacteria, and they burst forth and spread out, and then they go after more bacteria. So it's sort of like a bit like how a virus works, really. What they decide to do, so the Imperial and Nottingham guys, they decide to test it on bacteria called Shigella, which it causes like food poisoning. About 160 million people a year get ill from it.
Oh, nasty.
And it kills about a million of those people. So it's pretty grim. And what they did was they gave some fish larvae, tiny fish larvae, they gave them Shigella. And only about, after 3 days, only about a quarter of them survived.
Aww.
So poor little baby
poor
fish.
Poor little baby fish.
Yeah. Then what they did is they gave them Shigella, but they also gave them Delovibrio bacteriovorus, the little hunter things, right?
From all angles.
This time, 60% of the fish larva survived. So actually, Delovibrio bacteriovorus was able
to... Easy for you to say.
Well, you know, I'm a pro at this.
Science.
So, they But it was able to actually protect these fish larvae. It was able to act a bit like an antibiotic would in terms of it fought off this bacterial infection. And the beauty of this is because it's a, sort of almost a physical predator of the bacteria, it's going to be very difficult for bacteria to become resistant to this bacteria. So, yeah, this could potentially be a new way of treating bacterial infections, because if E. coli, Shigella, Salmonella, whatever, aren't able to become resistant to this carnivorous bacteria, then you could potentially treat a wound. You maybe could flush an infected wound that wasn't responding to antibiotics with these buggers, and they would just tear it to bits. I thought it was super cool. Which brings us to the whole premise of this show,
right?
Which is where you rate the science.
I can rate
so
science.
Would you like to? And bearing in mind, just to say, we're not rating the quality of the science. It's more my ability to explain it that gets rated.
I mean, that is very cool science.
Mm.
Your ability to explain it, I'm going to give 7 atoms, right?
7 atoms?
7 atoms.
Wow.
Out of 10.
Good. Oh, it's got an upper limit, has it? It's out of 10.
This time. The atoms have.
Right.
Only 10 atoms, as you know.
That's...
In any gathering of atoms, there's only 10 as an upper limit.
Yeah.
Mainly because you tried to claim that there was duct tape involved.
and
I think you and I both know, Sam, that's not true.
Do we know that, though?
Well...
Has anyone looked to see if...
I think they have
If
looked.
Cells repair damage yeah. to the
Look, I can't say with any with certainty, but I think, yes, they have looked.
Right.
Because they don't make duct tape that small. That and that's a compelling argument. You
that's
know
a good point.
Yeah, thanks.
Brilliant.
So, yes, in summary, seven atoms out of 10.
Would you rather?
What's going to happen is you are going to go on a intimate, passion-filled weekend.
You've already locked me in the room. Don't do this.
not with me, don't worry. You're safe.
Oh, thank God.
Intimate, passion-filled weekend with 2 historical scientists.
Right.
Okay, one or the other. You have to choose.
Got you.
Okay. You're 2 people to choose from. But it's going to be a night of, I mean, no holds barred.
It's a night to remember, right?
So you're 2 people to choose from.
Right.
First one, extraordinary inventor, Nikola Tesla. Right.
Okay.
For people who don't know him, he practically invented the 20th century.
I mean,
not the calendar date, but he was the guy that came up with a way of generating alternating current, which is how everything is pretty much powered. Before that, he was up against Thomas Edison.
Why do you hate Thomas Edison?
I mean, he used to, like, basically he got loads of people in this big factory, and they would work on inventions for him, and then he'd get rich off them. And
do you know what? I don't mind that, because if I could pretend I'd invented the light bulb, I totally would. If I could just run with it, yeah.
It is a valid point.
And you know you would too.
But, I did invent something, which I invented a way of making my dog look at the camera when I take a picture of it, which is, I mean, that's up there.
That's really unimpressive.
You haven't seen it yet, though, in action.
I don't need to.
I'll upload a video one day.
I don't care.
Seriously good. So, Nikola Tesla. So he invented alternating current. So you've got 2 types of electrical current. You've got direct current, which is sort of what batteries do, and that's like a steady flow. And then you've got alternating current, which is... It oscillates, basically. Ooh, it's the frequency goes from one side to the other. So it's... And Edison and him went... Edison was the proponent of direct current.
Okay.
And Tesla was... alternating current. They went head to head. They locked horns. It got pretty messy. The problem with direct current is you need a generator within about a mile of where you want the electricity to go, whereas alternating current is you can transmit, like, I mean, you've seen the power lines that go across the country. Very observant of you. That you can transmit it miles and miles and miles. And so he did that, but he also probably did the first X-ray, actually beating Mr. Röntgen in Germany. Almost definitely invented the radio, because Marconi gets credited with it, but Marconi used some of Tesla's patents and designs to develop his radio, and then it was kind of wrongly credited to Marconi. So he was a brilliant, brilliant man, and he was famous for all these lightning storm things, right?
Right.
Like, he made these, like, big displays where he had lightning flying around these big cages and stuff.
Got you.
And,
at what point did him and Edison form the band AC/DC?
excellent joke there, Daisy.
Thank you. They all are.
Yeah, they are. Well, Do you reckon that maybe they wrote the lyrics to Thunderstruck when Tesla got a bit rambunctious with his lightning storms and shocked Edison? right, so that's Tesla, okay? The other person that you'll be choosing between.
Okay, right.
And don't choose until I've gone through everything. The other person, an incredible woman named Marie Curie. You've probably heard of Marie Curie.
I know of her.
Now, she was utterly incredible. She went on to revolutionise the field of atomic physics. It was her that proposed that radiation rays came from the actual atomic structure of elements. And that was revolutionary. That created the field of atomic physics. She even coined the word radioactivity, which just shows how influential she was in that field. She went on to become the first woman ever to teach at the Sorbonne in France. She discovered the elements polonium and radium. She was critical in developing X-ray technology. She became the head of the International Red Cross Radiological Services. And in a time when science was exceptionally male-dominated, she became the first woman ever to win a Nobel Prize. And then she went on to win a second Nobel Prize in a different field. Still, to this day, the only person to ever do that.
What a badass.
That is extraordinary. She is, without doubt, one of the great scientists of the 20th century. Right, so what you've got to choose from is either a night with Nikola Tesla, but at periodic moments of ecstasy, he will detonate lightning all around the room. Okay, and he is keen to talk about eugenics a lot of the time. That's right. That's Nikola Tesla. Or Night of Unbridled Passion with Marie Curie.
Right.
But first of all, she's never takes off her two Nobel Prize medals. They're clanking around the heavy gold things. You're going to get black eyes. They're going to
be. They
will hit you in the face. It's permanently slapping you about with her gold medals. And afterwards, she always insists on braiding your hair, but she's got very radioactive-y hands.
Oh, God. Right. I mean, it sounds like I'm going to sustain burns either way, doesn't it?
Some description.
Either radioactive hands or room on fire.
Yeah.
Right, this is tricky. So, I don't want to be hit in the head by two Nobel medals repeatedly.
Right.
Because they look heavy.
They are, they're gold.
More precisely. But at the same time, Tesla sounds a bit wet, actually, because he invented all of the things and got no credit for it because other people kept stealing his ideas.
He was, by all accounts, a snappy dresser.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about eugenics.
No.
I mean, is he pro-eugenics?
I think he was pro-eugenics.
Oh, God. Because it's quite Nazi, isn't it? I think maybe Marie Curie.
Mm.
Because although I don't tend to go in for the lady love so much, I do like having my hair braided.
Oh, that's as good a reason as any.
And so, I don't want to talk about eugenics, Nicholas.
No. God, get a new topic.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Yeah. That's
I'm not here for that.
Excellent reasoning.
Thank you. And do you know what, Nicholas? If you invented all of the things, push yourself forward a bit more, work on your personal brand. That's some advice just from me to you.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Brilliant. So you're like Solomon.
It's been said before.
Yeah. And that was a little biblical reference for
you. Which I appreciated. Yeah, Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know I love the Bible.
Okay. We're now going on to your favourite bit, Daisy, where you get to perv over science. And you get to do this rapid fire style.
Fit science.
Just so people know, science is really difficult. It's about 9 steps backwards for every step forward. Things fail all the time. And then what we do is we talk about exciting science, go, wow, isn't this amazing, and basically objectify it. That's the premise of this show.
Talk about the fit science.
Yeah, fit.
I don't want, like, the ugly science.
No. So, there is a bat in Brazil, and it's called the Bazillion. There's so many of them.
Bazillions of bats.
Let's try that again. So, there's a bat in Brazil, and it's known as the Brazilian three-tailed bat. It's not that it's got, like, 3 tails. Mm. It's got one tail that's, like, detachable, maybe. I mean, it's not.
Oh, a three-tailed bat.
Yeah, I struggle with the R.
I know.
Bless me. I make up for it with my looks.
You don't.
It's every time. It's like a knife. A knife to the heart. So, scientists have been tracking this, and they observed this bat. They can fly faster than any bird in level flight, reaching speeds of 140 kilometres per hour.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's hot. God. It's hot.
I mean,
well done, the bats.
Well,
I've done the facts.
So, facial recognition systems, yes or no?
No.
No. Well, let me see if you change. If I can change your mind. They have shown that you can fool a facial recognition system with fake glasses. Okay.
But, what, like a little mustache?
Yeah, like the oldest trick in the book, right? But it's better than
I mean, that's a yes.
They took these fake glasses, but they didn't just stick them on and go, oh, look, is it the same person? They put special patterns on these glasses. And I think that it was some, like, 40-year-old guy tried them on, fooled the machine into thinking that he was the actress Mila Jovovich.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wonder why her particularly. Oh, my God, it's Mila.
But I think they patented it to try and do that deliberately. So,
well, that's wonderful.
There we go.
I mean, facial recognition in general, I think, is creepy and weird.
Right.
I was reading about an app the other day that's like Shazam for faces. And if you sort of take a picture of someone in the street, it directs you to their social media account. And I don't know how real that is, but it sounds horrible.
That is really creepy.
Do you see what I mean? This is why it's a no for facial recognition.
Yeah, okay,
because
fine.
I don't want to walk down the road for people to be like, oh, look, it's fine. Dr. Daisy Eyre.
No one will ever say that because you are not a doctor. You know, awe, as in, awestruck, A-W-E, awe,
yeah.
Right? So some scientists have been looking at the science of awe.
Sorry.
It's cool, isn't it? Yeah. Right? And because I was trying to think, like, last time I was properly awestruck, and
it was when you looked at me, wasn't it?
It was when I looked at you,
my little face.
Yeah. So there are five types of awe. There's threat. That's one I got from you.
That
beauty,
sounds right.
Exceptional ability. Not that one from you.
Rude.
Virtue and supernatural all kind of evoke awe. And they've come up with these categories, and they've defined awe as when something is perceived as so vast and beyond your comprehension, yet you still feel you have a need to accommodate the sort of enormity of this thing. And what's really interesting about the way they're studying this and the way they're trying to quantify it is this study actually might have real implications for us as humans. Not just an understanding of how we work and why we come to be, but things like, for example, they think as a survival benefit when humans arrived on a new area and they were awestruck by the view, that sort of inherent curiosity that comes with awe, that need to understand, actually then drives exploration, which then leads to, like, finding food and water and so on. So that was one theory. But there's much more practical uses to it as well. So the studies they've been doing have shown things like people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, if you can expose them to sort of positive, awe-inspiring experiences, it actually minimises the effect of post-traumatic stress.
How brilliant.
Which is really potentially a very valuable sort of therapeutic tool. And then I got this fact comes from another podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish, which I love.
That's great.
And they were saying how NASA actually factor awe time into spacewalks, because they got
that's beautiful.
Because astronauts, for the first time, were getting strapped up, they were stepping out, and for 2 or 3 minutes they're just going, and they were useless. They just cannot do any tasks because it's such a sight. The enormity is so beyond anything that you've experienced in life. They actually have to plan into their space work or time. So this understanding of awe has got real valuable implications.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's another little bit of science for you. What do you think of that one?
I think that's actually quite beautiful.
Huh.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do too. I thought this was stunning. Yeah.
I liked especially the categorisations.
Oh, yeah, yeah, what were they again?
Be
threat,
struck.
Beauty, exceptional ability, virtue and supernatural.
Because that exceptional ability one, you feel like that watching the Olympics sometimes,
yeah,
don't you?
Totally.
You're like, oh, wow, how does he even swim that fast?
Yeah, I actually got to watch Britain's Got Talent, I think, recently.
I think that's because you've got a low bar for what you think is exceptional ability, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're starting from somewhere a lot lower than that.
The bar is on the floor and I'm just sort of stepping over it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm fully on board with that one.
Oh, sorry, is that on paper, 10 out of 10, that one?
It's my type on paper.
Yeah.
Because I have been watching a lot of Love Island.
Yeah. The good thing about references like that is these won't date.
They
won't date at all.
I love that fact.
That is the most positive thing you've ever said to anything I've said.
It's the most positive thing I think I've ever said.
Because you're sort of dour northernness normally.
Northerners smile too.
No, it's true, they do. Like when they see pies,
gravy, whippets, flat caps.
Yeah.
All the northerners.
Yeah. That's it.
They are the only times.
Anything else you want to cover in today's
podcast? Not particularly, really, no. No? I think, do you know what? I think I've gone as far as I can with science today.
Which is lucky, because I've got to develop this. Okay, this is my high-tech ending selection device.
That is so rubbish.
What do you mean? It's a high-tech ending selection device.
What Sam is holding in his hands now is a dice with paper sellotape to it.
With six categories.
Yep.
I mean, it's random high-tech selection device. Six categories for how we can end this show. This is our only feature I've actually put effort into.
And I think even that's not, you know.
You ready for the... We're ending with a song.
Oh my God.
How about that? Now, I know ending with a song is a mainstay of British... I'm saying British because I'm assuming this is going to be an international success.
Oh, of course.
A mainstay of British 1980s light entertainment television shows. Right. I've got, as a screenshot on my phone, a song from a fantastic book. It's called The Biochemist Songbook. It's a very real thing.
Why can't biochemists just sing normal songs like the rest of us?
I don't need to. I'm going to give you the choice, Daze, of of what one of two songs are that you choose from today.
All eyes.
I'm just going to read you the category.
God, okay.
I don't want you to have too much power.
No, I'd go mad with it. I think that's a really wise choice, actually.
Okay. Would you like a song about the respiratory chain?
Ooh.
Or the Michaelis Anthem? Which is one of the most important equations in enzymology.
I mean, I've always really wanted a song about an equation. So I think probably that one.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Let's save the respiratory system for another day.
For next time, perhaps, if I roll
the
song
dice
again.
If the dice
decides,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean...
Right. You'll like this. It's the to the tune of the Red Flag.
Then I'll love it.
The substrate changed by an enzyme initially in unit time varies if not in excess with substrate concentration S. If enzyme concentration's low and reaction back from product slow, then if we choose a steady state, velocity and S relate. Right, and then pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. Really did just sing a song about an equation, didn't you? That was lovely.
Excellent. It's a fitting ending, isn't it?
I think we have to end there.
Okay, cool. We'll close with terms and conditions or something.
Yeah.
So that pretty much wraps up where we are today. Just a final point to say thank you all to our listeners. We'll be back. But in the meantime, if you do want to get in touch, you know, you could contact us on Twitter. You can find me at @ScienceManSam.
And I'm at @DaisyGrace88.
Till next time, friends.
Bye.
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 Science with not jokes. Why did the pervert cross the road?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Because his penis was stuck in a chicken.
That's so horrible. Why do you make me do this?
There we go. That's that.